Welcome to today's Innovative Ideas podcast. My name is Paul Howard, and I'm the director and a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute's Center for Medical Progress. Our guest today is Tevi Troy, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and a writer and consultant on healthcare and domestic policy. He is also the former deputy secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. We're talking to Tevi today about his new article in Commentary Magazine, The Fog of Metascare. Tevi, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Paul, and I really appreciate you getting the bio down to an acceptable podcast length.
We would have to devote an entire podcast just to the bio, to be fair. So, Tevi, this was a great article. I learned an awful lot from it. But what I mostly learned that I didn't really appreciate before I read the article is that as the need for Medicare reform has become ever more apparent to practically everyone in Washington, D.C., it's also become more politically charged and difficult to accomplish, largely because, I think this is fair to say, the Democratic Party has cast itself as a defender of Medicare as an inviolable, sacred social trust. Could you just walk us through your argument in the article and explain how Medicare has become Metascare and why it is such a potent force in modern healthcare politics?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to do that. And it really has become a potent force. You said it's been an inviolable part, I guess, of the social contract, according to the Democratic view. And you can see this when Nancy Pelosi was asked by the Washington Post her top three priorities. She said they are Medicare, Medicare, Medicare. And she didn't mean reforming the program when she said that. She meant keeping it as is, which, as we'll talk about in the podcast, is not fiscally sustainable. So back in 1965, there was a real need for senior health care. Seniors, the way health care is developed in this country, people get health care through their employers. You're a senior, you're retired, you don't have an employer, it's very hard to get health care. So there was a recognized need on both sides of the aisle that we had to do something about this, and the Medicare program was established. Once established, however, the costs have been going up and up at much higher rates than anticipated. The program in 1965 was projected to cost only about $12 billion in 1990. By 1990, it had already surpassed over $100 billion in annual spending. And now we're looking at $500 billion or more annually. And long-term, we have about a $30 trillion unfunded Medicare liability. So the Medicare spending is astronomical. At the same time, the senior population has grown. There's over 40 million people who are in Medicare. The medical inflation rate has gone up. It's medical inflation is about 2.5 times that of inflation. And so you have huge costs, more people in the program, and more promises made by politicians. And I'm not going to say it's just by Democratic politicians who've made it. Republican politicians have made those promises also over the years. But now, today, we're in a situation where more and more people are recognizing the fiscal unsustainability of the program and the recognition that we have to do something about it, and that this whole notion that you can keep Medicare as it is not factually realistic. It cannot happen. So anybody who says we have to keep Medicare as it is for the fiscal implosion of the program and for its elimination. Anybody who says they're for reform and actually has suggested ways to make that reform happen, those are the people who truly care about Medicare and want to keep the system viable. And that's when we get to someone like Paul Ryan, who has come up with a proposal. And when he's criticized, he said, if you don't agree with my plan, don't attack me. Come up with an alternative. I'm here trying to fix Medicare, trying to come up with a way to allow seniors to have health care in the future, and you're just criticizing me as taking away. Well, I want to have alternatives. Come up with alternatives, and we could talk.
And to be fair, the Democrats did, from their point of view, advance some Medicare reform provisions in the 2010 Affordable Care Act. But Richard Foster, who is Medicare's actuary, has said it's very unlikely that these cost containment mechanisms are going to kick in as advertised and be sustainable over the long term. And these are in terms of adjustments to productivity rates that Medicare is going to pay nursing homes and hospitals, whether or not there's this quote-unquote doc fix that's ever going to materialize as advertised. So just for our audience, I think physicians are currently facing about a 30% cut in reimbursements at the end of this year unless Congress moves to stop that cut again. And they've moved to stop the cut every year since I think 2002 or 2003, maybe you know the year, Tevi. But even this, if we accept even that all these cuts are going to happen, CBO said after the bill passed, it has not fundamentally changed the unsustainable trajectory of Medicare. So something has to be done. And you pointed out House Budget Chairman Paul Ryan did pass something, which, quite frankly, is a fairly moderate reform agenda. It doesn't affect anyone who has Medicare today. Would only affect people
for the next 10 years.
Or for the next 10 years. And so only people starting in 2022 would move into a competitive premium support program, which you described very well in the article. I won't go into it here. But basically, this is the kind of idea that has been proposed by one side or the other since, I think, 1999 through the Broe Commission. Not a very radical plan, and yet it's been completely demonized.
Yeah, and let me just make a point about those Medicare reforms in the Obama health care law. I agree with some of the reforms, but my fundamental problem with what they did was that they applied the savings that would come from the reforms, if the savings actually do happen, to this new unfunded liability of the Obama health care law. So instead of saying, let's apply this to fixing the system of Medicare, they said, well, let's spend more on health care, let's double down, and not really use the savings for helping Medicare. So that was my problem with what they did in the Obama health care law. In terms of the Ryan plan, I point out in the article that Ryan initially worked on the idea for his plan with Alice Rivlin, who is a Democratic budget expert, who was the head of CBO and OMB. Now, she did not sign on to the eventual Ryan plan that he released. But the fact that she was on board with the genesis of the plan, I think, tells us a lot, that there are details that can be worked out. I'm sure Ryan would be happy to sit in a room and try and come up with some compromises about ways to make it more acceptable to the Democrats. But right now, they're not trying to come to a compromise with him. They're trying to demonize him, and they're trying to scare any other Republicans from coming up with reform alternatives.
Or to put it another way, the president is in favor of private insurance competition through the health insurance exchange for the Affordable Care Act, and their rate of increase will go up eventually at something that's pegged to, I believe, the inflation rate. I may be wrong about that. But he's against insurance competition in the Medicare program, even when it's premium supported, even if there are adjustments made for health. And I was really struck that the Independent Payment Advisory Board, another mechanism in Obamacare, ties Medicare payment rate increases to, I think it starts out GDP and then goes to CPI plus one, I think, later on. So they're arguing over what the rate of increase should be in Medicare. But both, I think, Ryan and President Obama agree that, well, we could disagree about the mechanisms, but there should be some mechanism to slow growth in Medicare. And we can talk about how quickly it should grow or how slowly it should grow. But it seems to me there's really room for a conversation there, at least, if you sat down and actually looked at the details of the plan that Chairman Ryan proposed.
And I would love to see that conversation. I would welcome that conversation. I'd be happy to participate or write supportive things about that conversation. But instead of having that conversation, you forgot to mention the best part of the article when I mentioned you and your prediction that the Ryan plan would be met with howls of outrage. And that's a quote from you and that I quoted in the article when it was released. And you were totally right. So instead of this conversation, we have howls of outrage. And I think that is why we are not getting any closer to reform of Medicare, even though President Obama and his chief of staff, Bill Daley, have talked about the long-term unsustainability of the program. Bill Daley said on ABC This Week that Medicare's got to be strengthened. It will run out of money in 5 years if we don't do something.
That's right.
So on one hand, you've got the top people in the Democratic Party, the president's chief of staff, talking about how Medicare is financially unsustainable, something I agree with. And then you have the campaign apparatus going out there blasting any and every Republican for their affiliation with Paul Ryan, who came up with an alternative proposal.
And you, to be fair, you also point out in your article, look, the Republicans did not propose a health care reform bill of their own when they engaged President Obama on the Affordable Care Act. The Democrats, I guess, you know, turnabout is fair play, have not proposed any kind of Medicare reform plan to compare to Chairman Ryan's plan. But let me offer an observation here, and I wouldn't be surprised if you agreed with this, or maybe there's nothing here to this, but do you think the super committee, which is supposed to come up with at least, I think, $1.5 trillion in deficit reduction over the next 10 years, could Medicare reform come up for discussion in that committee, or is it so politically charged, and is the election so close, frankly, that neither the Democrats nor the Republicans are going to want to tackle that?
Look, Jim Compretta, whom both you and I know is a real budget expert, talked about this, and we say, how do you get real savings in the budget? He said, you can't get real savings unless you're willing to look at Medicare. So I don't know what the super committee is planning on doing, and I don't know how they're approaching it, although I think that they might stumble into the sequestration option, which I think would be suboptimal. But if you want real savings in the budget, you need to look at Medicare. And that's not meaning taking away benefits from seniors. That means put it into a competitive system. That means making it no longer an open-ended program. We don't really know what the budget for Medicare is going to be year in, year out. If you had some kind of defined benefit, we'd really know and be able to plan for the future.
And that is all eminently sensible. But going back to the quote you mentioned earlier from former Speaker Pelosi, that their strategy is Medicare, 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 or in your words, Metascare, 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 do you think that there's any political appetite, or maybe that's the wrong phrase, that Democrats feel that they have an advantage here, and they're not going to give it away because they want to hold that club over the Republican Party's head in the 2012 elections?
You know, you sound like you're channeling Patty Murray. There's an article in the Washington Post that described Murray's thinking as exactly that. We shouldn't be giving away our advantage on Medicare. We should, and again, this is a quote from somebody who said that they were talking to Murray, we should be very careful about giving away the biggest advantage we've had as Democrats in some time. So, you know, on the one hand, you've got senior Democrats like President Obama and Bill Daley saying, hey, Medicare is not sustainable. And then you've got the campaign apparatus, and Patty Murray heads the campaign apparatus, saying, oh, let's not give away our advantage of Medicare. Let's not propose reform. And I might add that Patty Murray is on the 12-person super committee.
That's absolutely true, and I think that's a good note to end on. We will link to Tevi's article in the current issue of Commentary Magazine. It's fantastic, The Fog of Metascare. Tevi, thanks very much for joining us today.